So sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is a Daily Racing Podcast, which we're recording live here on William Hill Racing Radio.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yeah, hello everybody and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. Normally, we only have one pundit with us on the podcast, but fortunately, this afternoon, we have got two. So on the podcast, Thursday's edition, we are joined by none other than Andrew Mount and Chris Pimlott. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. We're recording it live.
Greetings, Bobby.
Yes.
How are you doing? Long time no see.
Long time no see. You keep it well, Mounty?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks, young man. Not so bad.
Little one all right?
Yeah, she's doing well, thank you. Yeah.
And Pimmers as well, absolutely smashing it as a point-to-point trainer under rules as well.
Well, I wouldn't say we're smashing it, but anyway, we keep turning up and keep doing our bit. And it's not been easy this year with the weather, trying to keep them in one piece. But anyway, we're doing okay. We're here at William Hill Racing Radio, which is always good. Always a pleasure to work with you, Billy, but more importantly, with the Mountmeister, Mr. Statistician himself. Goodness gracious me. It's a pleasure. A pleasure, and I'm sure...
Bless you, Pimmers.
...he's going to find us some winners for tomorrow, and who knows, maybe for the Guineas. Maybe for the Guineas.
We'll try it, but probably don't bet on it.
Hey, just quickly before we look ahead to the action tomorrow, and also get your thoughts ahead of the first Classic of the season on Saturday, at HQ, the horse what won for you at Sedgefield, Pimmers, you said to me he may turn up at Kelso in a few weeks' time. Is that still the target at all?
We've made an entry for him at Fakenham, I think, for next Tuesday.
What's the beast in question called?
Carter Mackay. Yeah.
Former William Mullins and Gordon Elliott, isn't he?
Yeah, and he'll also have an entry made at Kelso the following day. So we'll see how he goes. Fingers crossed that... We get a run into him at one or two of those venues.
I would say so. You'll decide
near the time where
he'll go. Yeah,
ground and everything else permitting. You know what I mean? But yeah, all good. Looking forward to him.
Yeah, we'll look forward to see if he turns up at Fakenham or Kelso. Right then, Punchestown on Thursday afternoon, and what an absolute cracking day's racing it is tomorrow at Punchestown. Very excited about it. Of course, the Grade 1 Stayers Hurdle. You've got the Ryanair Novices Chase as well. We'll start first, though, with the Stayers Hurdle. 5:30 on Thursday evening is when it goes off. And for me, Mounty, I think Au Petit Swans, the Dan Skelton horse, Harry on board, if he can perform like he did last time out in that Grade 3 at the Grand National Festival, I think he's got a leading chance. At the time of recording, he's currently the 7-2 second favourite.
Yeah, the first thing you notice about this race is how weak it is. I mean, it was Grade 3 last time, but it was a Grade 3 handicap, young Bobby. I know he's sort of open to improvement. That was only his fourth run for Dan Skelton. Used to be with Paul Nichols. Mm-hmm. Was a winner at Cheltenham in Handicap Hurdle Company on New Year's Day. Then was very disappointing in the Cleeve behind Paisley Park. And then came back possibly appreciating the better ground when comfortably landing that Aintree race. Although they've gone pretty hard up front, and it's been a big advantage to come from off the pace. The winner, the second, and the fourth have all come from way back. This is a step up in grades. I'm not sure I'd want to take 7-2 about a horse with this profile. But then you look at the race and you think, well, what's going to beat him? I mean, Bo Pome is the favourite. What price is that one, please, Bobby, for Willie Mullins?
The Willie Mullins horse. Sorry, I just say it's
like 2-1 favourite.
2-1 favourite. Yeah, 2-1. I mean,
now he's wearing a first time tongue tie, and he was beaten 30 lengths in this race 12 months ago, when a 25-1 shot. Has he improved since then? Probably yes. Won a Grade 2 at O'Toy, but I don't think he's improved that much. 30 lengths wise, and he probably needs softer ground as well. We've got, you know what I mean, Harry, who's not shown a great deal this year, but did win this race 2 years ago, didn't run in it last year. He wouldn't be the worst 10-1 shot each way. But it's looking like a weak renewal. We've had quite a few old boys win this recently. Four of the last six winners were aged 9 or 10, so I wouldn't necessarily rule out the 11-year-old, you know what I mean, Harry, or even the 10-year-old Colotta Vic in the first time cheek pieces for Willie Mullins. But it's a struggle. I don't think it's a strong race, and I'd be inclined to throw a couple of quid at Harry Fry's, you know what I mean, Harry, to roll back the clock if I was going to have one. But again, he could also do with softer ground. So I'm it's a head-scratcher for me, Pim. I'm not sure where you stand on this one.
Well, £300,000... I should say €300,000 guaranteed. So massive, massive prize on offer. €177,000 to the winner. And listen, of these 10, none of them you would think would be capable of winning a race of this standard, to be perfectly honest. They've all either had a little few disappointing runs or haven't quite lived up to this sort of grade one status. So I think it's tricky. A horse that possibly isn't in the upper echelons of staying hurdlers is more than likely going to land this big prize. And I'm going to go tentatively, I don't know what price he is, not many left for Jesse Harrington and Robbie Power.
I'll get that price up for you right now, Pimmy. Sorry, I was looking at the
Bobby, what are you doing? So, do you know we're live, don't you?
I know. I tell you exactly what I was doing there. I clicked on the other grade one of the day as well, the Ryanair Novices Chase at 6:40.
Did your mind drift, Bobby? Were you watching cartoons on the children's channel?
That's exactly what I was doing.
10 to 1 for not many left, Pim.
Okay, well, I would go tentatively each way. Him, not many left at 10 to 1.
And you know,
I guess just starting with a young horse who's got
a bit more in him, yeah.
Could be the way to go.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean, Harry? The one that you said as well, Mounted 10.
Yeah,
to be
honest, I don't like the race. You know, certainly it's a fascinating race to watch, but, you know, I wasn't usually keen on those at the head of the betting. And then you start looking at the rest of them and you're struggling and scratching your head. So, yeah, maybe the Pimmer's angle of going for the younger horses to find some improvement is one way of tackling it. Or maybe just small each way on, you know what I mean, Harry, to roll back the clock. But, yeah. A race to watch only for me, I think.
That's the thoughts on the stayers. As I say, we're going to look ahead now to the 6:40 at Punchestown. Another grade one on the card. It's the Ryanair Novices Chase. 2 miles here is the distance.
Hang on, you can't call the Ryanair Chase a 2 mile.
Novices Chase.
2.5, isn't it? You see? It gets confusing, doesn't it? You see?
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, you're on about the Ryanair, obviously, at Cheltenham's 2.5, but it's 2 miles at Punchestown, isn't it, their Novices Chase?
World's gone mad, Bobby.
They just couldn't afford the extra half mile, that's all.
You have to pay extra for that, don't you?
Of course you do.
Are we going to see then, gents? I'll throw it both out to you. Deffy de Soy for Philip Hobbs and Dickie Johnson. Is he going to win the Ryanair Novices Chase, Pim, and follow up his win in the JLT last time?
Yeah, he's a very, very good horse, this. He's been in great form of late. It was a good performance when he won at Cheltenham. And for me, he's the one they've all got to beat. Obviously, you've got a couple of interesting ones there. The Mullins runner, Chacun Pouassoi, I think you pronounce it.
Well done, Pete.
The number one horse. I mean, he's only had one run after a long break. He's got an awful lot to find, but you wouldn't discount him finding that little bit extra for Mullins and Walsh. Sure, he could be a player. And obviously, the other Mullins horse ridden by... Paul Town has been in great form of late, so he certainly could well be a player as well. So, very competitive race. I'd say this is actually less runners, but more competitive than the hurdle. But I would just love to see Deffy de Soil win and stamp him as a real top-class chaser.
What's your thoughts, Mountie?
Yeah, at first I thought, maybe take on Deffy de Soy because he's back at 2 miles and he's only had one run over fences at this trip. Finished last of five behind Laylor on his Chase debut at Cheltenham back in November. But since then, he's been a massive improver over longer trips. 3 wins and a second to Lost in Translation. And we know how good that one was at Aintree. So was it the trip that beat him on that Chase debut or was it just lack of experience? I think... I'd have to say you can forgive him that. It was his first run of the season, first run over the larger obstacles, and the experience was needed. And I think he should have the pace for 2 miles still. And, you know, I'll take him to upset Arkle winner Duke de Genevres. But the two of those dominate the market, 2 to 1 and 9 to 4 for Deffy de Soy.
Just in regards to Punchestown and the rest of the action on Thursday, has anything else particularly caught either... of your eyes there. Of course, like, you know,
the left eye or the right eye.
I wasn't sure if anything had stood out or anything in regards. It could be from anywhere. What we need to mention as well, I'll just quickly mention this just while you're doing that. Salisbury on Thursday afternoon is a William Hill sponsored card as well. William Hill sponsoring every single race at Salisbury. The first race gets underway at 4:55 and the fan race at Salisbury gets underway at 8:10. So it's,
yeah, I must give a quick mention for one race at Chelmsford, the 7:25. This is a 6 furlong fillies listed race, a race I've done the spotlight for the Racing Post. I was there's loads of really progressive fillies here, and one in particular called Red Impression, but she's drawn in stall 14 of 14. It's not been as hard to overcome a wide draw at Chelmsford in recent weeks, but I'd still worry about her getting out on a seasonal debut and getting across and getting a prominent position from that draw. So I tipped Royal Intervention in the paper for Ed Walker and Gerald Mosse. This one showed some really good speed from the front last year, second by a neck at 16-1 on debut, and then hacked up by 4.5 lengths in listed company on the July course at Newmarket on her second start. Probably unsuited by the track at Ascot when runner-up in Group 3 company on a final start. Thought back from a break from stall 2, she could blast off and perhaps make all, but that's definitely a race to savour and could throw up plenty of future winners as well.
There's only one horse for you tomorrow, Bobby.
Go on.
4 o'clock.
Where at?
Red Car.
4 o'clock, Red Car.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a Royal Intervention as well, just while I get the 4 o'clock at Red Car up, is part owned by Lord Lloyd Webber. He part owns that horse you've tinted there. Yeah, there's only one horse.
So obviously couldn't afford a whole horse. So no, exactly. Got to
write another musical before he can do that.
Yeah, there is well spotted here in the Class 5 claiming stakes. Trained by David O'Mara, ridden by Robbie Downey. Highland Bobby, good spot there, Pim.
Yes, that's the one for you.
If you don't nap that Bobby, we'll want to know why.
Exactly. The other thing is, Robbie Downey, I noticed he was down for one of the Quinn's horses today. Mm. He's obviously down for the O'Meara horse tomorrow. Do we know much about Robbie Downey? He's not a name I'm familiar with at all.
No.
Has he come from Ireland, maybe?
I think he has, yeah. The name does ring a bell, and sort of seeing him alongside sort of runners at the likes of Dundalk, I think, from memory.
Right, okay.
As we're live, I've not had time to check that. But yeah, in the last couple of weeks, he's had several rides, most of them for David O'Mara, also for Michael Dodds, John Quinn, and Henry Spiller.
So judging by that, with the vast majority who set out, I would imagine he's based himself up north then.
Sounds that way, doesn't it?
Get a few rides, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, sounds that way. Don't know too much about. But a guy, no claim, so he's not going to be easy.
No,
that's
no.
For sure.
Highland Bobby, I'll have a good look at that later on tonight, Pim. Right, then we said as well we're going to preview, or just have a quick look, should I say, ahead of Newmarket on Saturday. It's the first classic of the season on the Rolling Mail, and that is the Group 1 2,000 guineas a mile is the distance. Mounty, I said this to Tom Moll yesterday, Magna Grecia is the 100-30 favourite with us here at William Hill, and I think he's got a great chance of landing the 2,000 guineas. I backed him when he won what was formerly known as the Racing Post Trophy, now the Virta Futurity Trophy Stakes, which has always been seen as a bit of a stepping stone and a trial towards the Classics. But I know he's the favourite mounted, but I think he'll run a big race.
Certainly wouldn't put you off, Bobby. But at the moment, you know, we don't know the final decks, we don't know the draw. It can be a big advantage to be drawn very high or very low against either rail at Newmarket in this race. So we've seen some funny results over the years as a result of that. And I'm going to put up a funny one at a big price, who also came out of Magna Grecia's race. That's the Group 1 at Doncaster, the Vertem Futurity Trophy Stakes. Now, in that race, it was a big advantage to be up with the pace. Nothing got into it from the back. The winner, Magna Grecia, track leaders, Western Australia in third, made the running. The fourth was prominent. And a lot of the horses were keen or just never got into it. Now Phoenix of Spain was the real eye-catcher, finishing second by a head from off the pace. But he's not running in the guineas. And if you look at the others who came from off the pace to sort of finish in mid-division that day, Great Scott for Tom Dascom did well to finish fifth at 14-1.
Yep.
And now his only run since then saw him finish second at Newbury in the Greenham, only beaten by 3/4 of a length on his recent comeback. Kick On for John Gosden. He was held up in that race and finished sixth. He was a 16-1 shot that day. He came out on his seasonal debut and he won at Newmarket in the listed fielding stakes. I go further down the field, the ninth horse, King Otica for Charlie Fellows, always towards rear in that Doncaster contest. Next time out on his reappearance at Newbury, he's won at 14-1, stepped up to 10 furlongs. Now, just behind King Otica in 10th was a horse called Raqib Al-Hawar, who started at just 6-1, well backed on the day for David Simcock. Steadied and switched right start, held up always in rear. Basically sort of given a hold-up ride, expecting the front runners to come back, and they never did, never got into it at any stage. Had only had one other run when scoring on debut at Newbury. That wasn't in a maiden or a novice. It was straight into a conditions contest, worth a few quid. Was a 25-1 shot, failed to settle, but still won from good yardstick dashing Willoughby with 6 lengths back to the third. Now, having gone well fresh and had excuses for that Doncaster run, I think that 50-1, Raqib Al-Hawar could well be a little bit closer this time.
Have you got a selection yet, Pim, for the 2,000 guineas?
No, I think we just would like to see the final deck, see the draw. Obviously, the 2,000 guineas, a lot have fallen by the wayside even before getting to declaration stage. So, for me, it's just a little bit of a watching brief. As of yet, obviously, with the forecast as it is, you're going to have to find something that was going to really go on the lightning quick ground that you're going to get there, I should imagine. But all to play for. And again, the season seems to set up real sluggish and labour, and then all of a sudden, bang!
Yeah.
We've got Ascot today, and then we're into those classics.
Before you know it, it'll be the Derby. Then it's Royal Ascot,
And then we'll be thinking about the proper jumping starting again.
Yeah, Charlie all day.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, buddy.
It really is though, because it's like, as you say, we've got Ascot today, we've got Newmarket over the weekend, then we're going to Chester for the Chester Cup meeting. We've got the Dante Festival at York. Then we've got the Derby, Royal Ascot, as you say. Then it's Goodwood, Ebor Festival. Festival, St. Ledger Festival, Charlie all day.
There you go.
There we go. Already got it planned.
Yeah, we're wishing our lives away. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Did you know it's only 30-odd weeks away until Christmas as well?
I don't even want to think about it, Jimmy.
You've gone too far now, Billy.
You just behave now. Come on.
And on that note,
silly boy.
And on that note, I'll say thank you very much to Pimmers and to Mounty for joining me here.
But on that subject, though, have you written your letter to Santa yet?
Not quite.
No.
I'm going to make sure I keep on the good list, I suppose.
No, what are you going to ask for? A Northern Group 1 winner?
Yeah. At the Cheltenham Festival. No. We have not had one since 2012, so I think we're due one for 2020, aren't we?
We are indeed, buddy.
Fingers crossed. Right then, William Hill Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon is live from 1:05 p.m. Myself in the hot seat, Andrew Mount joins me as well. We're also joined by Speed Figures himself, Andy Holding, and we'll be taking you through all the action at Punchestown, Musselburgh, Redcar, Southall, Salisbury and Chelmsford.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.